Hey guys, it's Wes Gardner from Brothering Around, and this episode, as usual, is brought to you by our good friends at Audible. At audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial and get yourself a free audiobook on the house, over 180,000 titles to choose from. And hey, if you have something that can listen to Brothering Around, you have something that can enjoy the love and the passion and the greatness that is Audible. And if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what does. And hey, what's better than free, right? Go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Get yourself a free audiobook from your boys at Brothering Around. Get the 30 days free trial. You know it. You love it. And tell them your boys from Brothering Around sent you. That's audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Oh, episode 27. That means the boys are back at it again.
It's boys a new. Are back in town.
That's right. Who let the dogs out? No, now I'm. We're just. Now we're just having really bad.
We're living in a gangster
paradise. Yeah. Great balls of fire. We're back.
Oh, man. That new WWE pay-per-view.
Holy shit. Right? Great balls of fire. What were they smoking? Because
I'm
they
still
normally
hoping
have
for a Southpaw Regional Wrestling Invasion. Oh, that's my dream.
Yes, and that has to happen.
Lance Catamaran invading the commentary booth, and like he doesn't break character whatsoever. He just super forward, like he's just going to commentate the match. Like, dude, that's John Cena. What is John Cena doing?
Who's Lance Catamaran? Yeah, like, oh, that'd be fantastic. Hell, he even mentioned, I think he was on Jimmy Fallon or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he mentioned that he has the cell phone number for Tex Ferguson. And nobody knew what the fuck he was talking about. And it made me laugh out loud. And I was like, oh, my God. Man. I love you, John Cena. Like,
that needs to happen, man. That is like literally gold.
It's so good, right? It's just that whole... And then the whole, I need to rewatch it just for that last bit
with
Tex
too.
Ferguson.
Like I should. It's about time.
And Chad Too Bad, where he's like right beside him, just yelling at him. He's like, I can't see with my eyes.
It sounds like Chad is right. It's in my right side, but I can't see. Is he wearing a green jacket?
It's like, I'm right next to you, Tex Ferguson. God, that's such a good bit.
It's literally such a good day.
Really surprised with us. So before we really get too far into it, I'm surprised with us because we actually have a show this week. We have an actual, we have topics.
Yeah.
We have things we're going to discuss. Some of it serious, some of it jovial.
Brought up like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. We're going to learn a lot about the world. We're going to learn a lot about ourselves. It'll be a magic moment. It'll be like a Mr. Rogers episode.
It will, but it'll be free flowing because
vulgarity.
We don't know where this boat is going.
Yeah, we can't stop this train.
The song, come and ride the train.
Oh my God, that's some Jock Jams shit right there. Yeah. Oh, Jock Jams for the kids out there listening to the show. Jam. If you have not heard Jock Jams, just go find. I don't care what CD torrent site you got to go to. You gotta find Jock Jams and listen, because there's nothing like that. Let's explain what Jock Jams was for the kids. So Jock Jams, you know, they have those compilation CDs like Now This Is What I Call Music and you know, Barry Manilow Christmas. Like they have all these compilation things, right? So this, what's the best way to describe it? Like Jock Jams was the music. The shitty music that you hear in between, like, halftime of an NBA game. And it was, like, these weird DJ-ified remixes of, like, Cotton Eye Joe. And these really bad club remixes like of...
Mamba, what was it? Mamba 95.
Mamba number 5.
Mamba number 5.
Mamba. Oh my God, that hat that he would wear. He wore like an actual fedora all the time.
Man.
A little bit of Kimberly, what I like. Yeah, that's all atrocious. But it is definitely an album that it is so unlistenable and so bad that it's amazing. Like, you just have to experience it for yourself. It's like 45 minutes long. God, who did that song Tootsie Roll? Like,
oh man, I'm trying to remember Tootsie Roll. It's like, not Luke.
Yeah,
not Luke the rapper.
Right. But it was someone.
Some raunchy shit.
And it did. It's, you listen to that and you're like, whoa, people need to just calm down. Come on, Jock Jam. So let's turn it down a notch.
I'm trying to, I don't remember right now, but yeah.
Oh, it's, it is the most 90s thing you can own.
It is. We can make a bracket out of this one.
Oh, the most 90s shit. It would have like Zebra Stripe Gum. Yeah. It would have, you know, Nicktoons. Have Jock Jams.
Yeah, man.
Oh, we should do it. Geez. Totally. Acid wash jean shorts.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man. How has your week been, Mr. Marco Flores?
What week has been? Not too bad. Not too bad. It's been calmer. Well, I guess work wise it's been calmer than usual. Training wise, still the same. Everything still hurts. I've been introduced to some new training exercises, which like killed me even further. But I'm feeling fine now. I'm not usually dying as like the past few weeks, but just keeping at it, at the grind. And let me see, what was the last thing I did? I mean, I have something coming up where I'm watching Guardians 2 this Friday, but I haven't seen it. So I'm hearing good things about it, and I hear it's like super funny. So
good,
I am down with that. Yeah, and just doing the usual. Pumping out more videos than I originally thought.
No kidding, dude. I was gonna bring that up. I want to say you're averaging like one a day or one every 2 days. Like those things are hitting like wildfire.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, and I'm dabbling. We're gonna talk about this, but I'm dabbling with ideas and see what I can do with my current, like, you know, current range of skill and stuff. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Things are like the wheels are turning. So
yeah,
that's me.
I think it's funny because both of our, and yeah, we will talk about it a little later in the episode, but both of our, it's funny because you could tell like-minded creators will kind of, you know, birds of a feather type thing. Because both you and I are now like rattling off ideas for our own channels more so than we have in years. Like, oh, we got this thing going on, this thing's going on, and then we got this idea. Like, we're just pumping stuff out. And it's a rare occurrence because normally one of us is going hard and the other one's kind of taking a break or like vice versa. Mm-hmm. But now we're both kind of, something must be in the water because it's.
It is.
It's a different ball game now, but
how about you? What's going on with you?
I'm drinking an energy drink right now at freaking 11 p.m. Good. So yeah, that'll be good. That'll end well. I mean, just busy stuff, you know, doing real life planning, big events and
wedding.
I will say that, yeah, on the YouTube channel, did some unboxing videos, got that new subscription service going.
Yes, you did.
With the video game stuff, and they sent me some good shit, man.
And it's looking good, man.
They sent me some good stuff, so I'm a fan.
That was a hell of a first box.
God, the first game I pull out is a mint condition copy of Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, man.
Like, how do you, jeez, come on now.
Yeah,
it's like setting the stage right there. You're like, well, shit. Now they're serious about this,
right? Right.
You know. So, but yeah, I mean, stuff like that's good. Overall, nothing too crazy. I am making, and we'll talk about this more with the video stuff later. But I am making two videos at the same time, which I've never actually done before. And there's something kind of nice about it. Because then I can hop back and forth. So if I'm bored of doing one, I can just hop over to the other.
I need to kind of confess something. I may or may not use my advantage of three accounts to
Oh shit.
To rig that voting system, but it didn't matter anyway because it was still 50-50.
Yeah, after what, 14 or 15 votes, it was 50-50 split anyway.
You got 14 or 15 votes. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
For just a random show that nobody's seen before. You know what I mean? Like, here's a brand new series I'm creating. And I was like, what's the first episode? What should it be? And then people came out of the woodwork.
That's great, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm stoked. And like, I know that making both is the right call because there's interest in both. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, now what I'm really wondering is which one do I release first, or do I release two episodes on the same day and really screw people?
Oh man. You want
you want to
do like Netflix and
be like on demand here. First two episodes.
Season one for, today.
Yeah. Done.
Go watch.
Get it. But yeah, I think those will be done. God, one of those might be done this weekend.
Okay.
I mean, it's going quick, man. I guess it's been so close back to back since I've been doing all these other videos, but they're happening fast now. Even capturing footage. One of the games I'm capturing on three systems. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So and we're comparing footage and. Yeah, dude, it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
That's good. But
that's great. That's good that you're delving into like in the retro series. You're delving into the comparison of like, say, the Sega Genesis version versus the Sega CD version.
Yes,
which has like it has a lot more options or a lot more characters, whatever the game is.
Exactly.
And you're gonna be able to see that and be like, oh wow, okay. The audience will connect that dot. Like, oh wow, so it really is different. That's cool.
Yeah, because that's, you know, video and YouTube and stuff is definitely show, don't tell. And that's what I thought. I was like, I liked, you know, I still like current day West versus Backlog because I think it's cool to show beautiful 1080p, 60 frames a second, like footage of these games that are fairly new, within a few years old, you know, fairly current. But I was like, so how am I going to tackle doing retro games?
Yeah.
And it's a different subsect, but I will say that, so the two games I'm doing the videos on, it was part of the, so it's not really a spoiler because I guess it was part of the Twitter poll. So one of the series is Quake 2. And it's looking at the PC version, the Nintendo 64 version, and the PlayStation version. And then the other one is Eternal Champions, which is looking at the Sega Genesis version and the Sega CD version.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is I modded the shit out of, Quake 2 to run on PC. Okay. So it runs at 1080p 60 frames a second. So it's literally this old game from 1996 that trust me when I say you have never seen it like this before, ever. Like,
yeah,
that's why I'm excited about it is people are going to look at Quake 2 and be like, holy shit, that's Quake 2. but the good news is I didn't tamper with the textures. I didn't tamper with anything that made it look newer. Besides the resolution and the clarity.
Yeah.
But it looks like a 1996 game.
Yeah, I believe you did that with an old Power Hour before I jumped on. It was a Quake, right?
Or Unreal, yeah.
Unreal, right. That's right.
Yeah, it was and it was funny because there's something sort of poetic about using Quake 2 as the first episode because I want to say the very first Power Hour ever was Quake 3 Arena.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's sort of this coming full circle. Let's, if we go back and watch that first Power Hour of Quake 3, and then we look at what I'm about to put out and you see the difference in quality of these videos, you're going to flip. Like, and that's kind of why I wanted to do it, is I wanted to show people this is the new standard. Like, this is it. Expect all of my videos to be this good.
Did you do that live?
Yes, I did.
You did that live. That's right. I was chatting in there. I was like, wow, it looks really good for an old game. So, they told me like, oh yeah, no, I up-resed it and like, you know, modded it in some sort of, like, oh, okay.
It's pretty good. So it was, it was fun. But then of course, at the time I was only able to record in like 720p at 30 frames a second. So now it's just, it moves so fast. People might get motion sick. Like, It's pretty crazy how much of a difference, because I got all this stuff working and I was like, oh my God, because I remember playing Quake 2 growing up, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I was like, I would have never thought it would look like this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it still has the low polygonal count. It still has all the 1996 era stuff. It just looks so much better. But then we're capturing the Nintendo 64 and the PlayStation 1 in the same 640 by 480 standard definition. So
keeping it to its source.
Yes. So you're really going to see the difference. And yeah, but that's part of the fun, is you're going to see how like textures and lighting were handled versus the N64 and the PlayStation 1.
Oh man, I just thought of a future one for you. If you do Warcraft, not only will you do the PC, but you do the console versions, and look how horrendous they are.
Oh God. And like Starcraft came out on Nintendo 64 and it was a fucking train wreck.
That's right.
But yeah, that's what I want the retro thing to be, is I want it to be this weird archive of here's footage of games that I love or games that didn't get a lot of recognition. Here they are remastered, almost like looking beautiful, but this is like almost a museum. Like, this is what it was. And I will say, I'm adding one specific thing to every retro video, one little segment, I guess you could say, that I've never done before, and people are going to love it. I promise you, because whenever I had the idea, it was one of those few times that I pat myself on the back. I was like, holy shit, this is going to be awesome. And I'll put I'll just say that in order to do it, I had to do a ton of research, and I had to download about 18 hours worth of video, but I can't tell you of what.
That's fine.
it's for everything. So it's for every retro West versus backlog I'll ever do. We'll have this little thing in there, and yeah, once you see it, you're gonna laugh, because it fits every episode perfectly, but it also doesn't because it's so old. But I needed to have it. I needed to have this feature in all those videos. So that's what I was gonna do. Even the new logos and stuff, it's all retroed out.
Right.
Like, I put VHS filters. So the whole thing, it's a true throwback. Like, it has neon signs. It has all sorts of stuff, man. It's been a ton of fun to work on. So I'm really excited to get all of them out.
That's great, man.
But
I love that. I love that retro intro.
It's going to be good stuff.
So
with your videos, this is going to, we're going to talk about the actual topic here in a second, but you did kind of a little experiment almost on your channel, and it seemed to pay off pretty big.
Yeah, I did. So, I mean, I introduced the segment before, I think dating the first video, I said it about a year ago. So I introduced this segment called Reviews and Opinions. We got those, right? So basically, Anything I either watched or played or heard about or whatever, like, I can either make an review about that subject or topic, or I can make an opinion video on it. Mm-hmm. So it hits both of those sides, right?
Yeah.
So after my Captain America review, nothing really, not to say that it didn't take off. Like, I enjoyed making that video. It's just, I didn't know what else to do from there. So,
sure.
You know, fast forward to like maybe last week, and all the whole news about what we're going to talk about, the news about SourceFed Nerd turning into now this nerd. And I was like, oh man, that's pretty. And it kind of hit me up, not so much personally, but like, it hit me on a level where like, I feel like I can put my input out there. Like, I know it's not going to be super different from everybody, what everybody else is saying, because we're all thinking the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So I decided just to make a video, and like I recorded it in front of my, you know, in my car, like in the morning before I had to come into work, just telling my thoughts, and And then like, yeah, then I threw it out there that very day after finishing and recording it and just doing like little editing here and there. So, so yeah, the video comes out and it's getting a lot of views. As of right now, it's still getting a lot of views because it's kind of like a trending topic at the moment because, I mean, I guess we can just start by getting into it. Like, like I said, now SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd were recently canceled networks because they were part of a digital digital network company called I forgot was it Discovery Communications. Phil DeFranco created SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd just to expand his brand into not just Phil DeFranco himself talking about like these other things, but like making a network of people like awesome YouTubers like in that immediate area where he lives and just like network with them and just giving them a job and like be able to create content in whatever direction that they want to talk about. Like I know like with SourceFed, it was mainly about today's news. And then with SourceFed Nerd, it was about like the nerdy stuff, the nerdy news. So like that was taking off. That was around for like a good 5, maybe 6, 7 years with like a lot of views per video. So like you fast forward to like what's been going on recently, like maybe the views have not been up there because, you know, hosts have been like either quitting or rotating out for whatever reasons, either they got promotions or they wanted to go do their own thing at like either other companies or their own channel.
Yeah.
And so, so old hosts that people had to grow and love had to get used to new hosts. And then that rotation keeps going forward. SourceFed Nerd closes down, right? Or SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd closes down. But SourceFed Nerd, that channel that's owned by that digital company, they changed SourceFed Nerd into Now This Nerd. So I know, like when I browse through my Facebook feed, there are some like Now This videos. Like you'll just happen to see it on Now This video.
Yeah.
Like about whatever subject. Mm-hmm. So now the thing is that Now This Nerd is trying to use what was already built and established from SourceFed Nerd, like the community, the amount of subscribers and all that stuff. They want to use whatever they created and started to start their own like nerd channel, right?
Yeah.
And so the backlash was huge, right?
Oh, sure.
Backlash was huge. The community was like super against it and they weren't liking the fact that people had to get fired and like they got let go from jobs, you know, food on the table, you know, roof over the head sort of thing. Just so this big wig company can take whatever's already established and try to make their own thing and make it act like, oh, everything's hunky-dory. We still care about the core values of what SourceFed Nerd is doing, but we want to do our own thing. Like, well, you know, if you want to, again, like what I said in my own video, if you wanted to do that, why didn't you keep all those employees that were making the content, the hosts, the back-end stuff, the producers, writers, whatsoever? Why didn't you keep all of them and then just change, like make it like a merger and just change your name to Now This Nerd? Then it wouldn't be a problem. We would still see the same people, just with a different name. That would have been fine, right? But because they let go of all those people, and the people that have to like grow in love, because you see them in behind the scenes vlogs and stuff like that. So people have grown to learn and love who these people are, regardless if they were the hosts, the producers, the writers, the back end people. They grown to love these people, and it became a community in itself. So when Now This becomes Now This Nerd again, like there was, I believe somebody told the or gave the idea, or I think basically somebody just told everybody, go to Social Blade and see how the subscriber count was going down like by the hour. So like everybody's just watching how it came from like a million plus from when it was SourceFed Nerd down to like 900 something, because the response of this action, regardless if it was a business decision or not, is really bad, and like we weren't with it. So like I was one of those people, like I'm not down with this, dude. That's not cool. taking away money from people that need that and like need jobs.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just not, it doesn't make sense because they're saying one thing and then doing another.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I mean, I check their channel from now and then just to see how they're doing. You know, first video is a lot of views, but like, I didn't even bother watching the video, but I'm well aware that those comments are like, just like dislikes and like just seething comments, like how they feel about what's going on.
Scathing,
right? And so like these other videos that they've been pumping out, I think they do like one a day, and like it's not as high of a views on maybe the day to day rating or something compared to what SourceFed did back in the day. So like you definitely see that there's the disconnect of like the people that were with SourceFed Nerd, they were with SourceFed Nerd. They're gonna go subscribe to their channels wherever they may be, their solo channels, whatever network they decide to join, whatever it's gonna be. Compared to like trying to stay with Source now this nerd. So going back to what the video I made, I happened to post it like when the news was pretty hot, and like it started getting a lot of views, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. Like I know that's a thing, and I dabbled with the idea of trying to find news in my realm that I actually care about and wanted to like throw a video out there.
Yeah.
But we were just talking about this before we were recording. There are things in like the YouTube world where it's kind of like you kind of cross that line of like, oh yeah, you're the everyday YouTube person where you're doing the top 10 or you're doing like unboxing, like because people like now unboxing videos are the norm.
Everyone does them.
Trending news or like reaction videos, what have you. So like I know that's a thing, like the trending news like type of video, and that can get like quick, like a lot of views in itself. But I'm like, do I actually want to do that, or do I personally want to just talk about the things that I care about, which I think I'm leaning towards. But it just so happens the SourceFed Nerd thing was the exact thing that I was trending at that moment.
Yeah, right place, right time type of stuff.
Right place, right time. Yeah. So I mean, and you can see the difference compared to like my intro to mobile games, where like, you know, either there's a video that maybe people don't care about as much compared to like this trending news video, like, oh wow, 8 people are wanting to talk about this subject, and like, yeah, I agree with you, or maybe I disagree with you because I got like one dislike on that. Who's
the person? I agree with everything that happened. How dare you?
Somebody disliking the video. But anyways, so yeah, like that's something I'm dabbling on, and that's do I personally want to pull that trigger of trying to, and I'm already having ideas. I'm like, okay, I kind of want to do like something of a top 10, but like little change of it, but like, do I want to actually do that, and do I have the resources to do that,
right?
Whether it's like programs or like my, you know, funds, what have you, or like networking for people that can actually do that part, a certain thing that I want to do and put it in the video that I'm gonna make, or stuff like that. But yeah, again, and then it goes with you, Wes, where you're kind of delving into that same space where you're right now you did an unboxing video and it's taking off great, right? You're getting comments, lots of views, and now you're thinking maybe I want to do this, like at least with the unboxing, because you are subscribed to an unboxing program,
right?
Like you're kind of doubling, like, oh, maybe I want to do these other things that are kind of like YouTube trending general things.
Yeah, there seems to be a certain, almost a, I don't know, like a playbook of YouTube.
Yeah.
So, like, just like you said, I think like the dankest thing is a reaction video, because I think that's, like, I'm going to watch the trailer and make up my own mind. I don't need to see some kid from Jersey go like, oh my God. Like, but hey, like 13. Okay. I have a stepbrother. He's 11. He eats that shit up. He will watch people react to everything. He would rather watch a reaction video to a funny video than watch the funny video.
The actual video.
I don't know what it is, but that's one of those things where now I'm old and he's young and he's cool and I'm not. So that's what happens, right? But
yeah,
it seems to be there are these kind of like you said, there's these nuanced ways of going and looking at that norm. So you were talking about a top 10 video, but you have a slight tweak or you have a small twist. And I think that's kind of the way to do it because, with a retro series, people like to look back on classic games. Let's look at old Nintendo games like that. That, trust me, that has its own insane following on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You look at these guys like Metal Jesus Rocks. You look at guys like Classic Game Room, Pat the NES Punk. Like they have careers. They don't have full-time jobs. Their full-time job is YouTube because of how well like the whole video game collector side of YouTube is. It's huge. I had no clue. This was, and I just learned this because of the unboxing video. All of these people started coming in and getting comments, and then I look and they have like 4 million subscribers. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, blow me away, right? I had no clue. This is a side of YouTube I've never seen. And you have guys like the Immortal John Hancock. So all these names are brand new to me. It's like a whole new world.
Right,
But this established, and I mean, these guys have been making videos like this since like 2005 or 2006. And sometimes they had videos so old they predated YouTube, and then they had to import them into YouTube. So it's a legit thing. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe now I want to go into the whole, here are the games that I picked up this month. Or here are the games that I picked up this week. Oh, we stopped by the store and I saw this really rare game in a box, so I bought it. What do you guys think? I could see myself doing that. Sure. Like, it's engagement. It's easy.
It's vlogging in a sense, too.
Yeah, like, it totally is vlogging. And
say,
then...
Say, you're recording when you're walking in through the video, like, walking through the video game store, like, from, like, a POV, like, standpoint. You're looking at the games. You're like, say, like you're putting a finger scrolling down the games, and then like, say, somebody's like, "Oh, look at that game! Oh, that game! Go get that game!" or stuff like that. And then like, you can see the results of like, we got out of the store. This is what we got. Boom! That's like an instant, content engagement right there.
There are entire channels dedicated to that.
Yeah,
like, totally. Where they go and they scour these yard sales, they scour like retro gaming stores, and then they pick up what their haul is. So they look and they do a tour, and oh, here's the guy that owns the store. Do you mind if we talk for a second? It's almost like a little impromptu interview. Hey, how long have you owned the store? It's cool to meet you. Thanks so much. What's your prized possession? Like, let me see what your collection is. Then it almost it's almost like a tourist video. Because and I mean, hell, we're having our honeymoon in Seattle, and right near our hotel, there are 7 retro game stores.
Oh, dude.
And I was like, what a perfect time. Yeah.
It may not be even be a priority for like marriage-wise to go to all these game stores, but like you think as a YouTuber's mind, like, oh, if we can go to those stores and like I can get footage of whatever, of whatever we're going to do there, and then like, boom. That's like a video of something right there.
And it's like, a
compilation of going to all these stores.
Absolutely. That's a time. That's a time capsule. That's like, this is the time we were in Seattle and we got to go to a place we might never get to go again.
Exactly. But
it's themed video games because my channel is video games. So it relates, but it's real life. It brings in that engage. Exactly. So you're talking top 10, you're talking, you know, very topical, what's happening today in the world type of stuff. Yeah. And then you have the flip side where it's like, okay, let's talk about unboxing videos. Let's talk about, you know, the greatest of all time, like this game versus this game. Like, there are so many different smaller avenues now that you can kind of stretch out. You can sort of figure out what you want to talk about and figure out kind of where it goes. So I say do it. Like, I know you said you were dabbling with the idea of doing it.
Yeah.
I would say just go for it. If you have ideas, do it. The only time you would ever have to stop is when you run out of ideas.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I was thinking like before just now, like, why am I even like debating if I should do this or not? Like some part of me needs to drop my pride, needs to drop my pride that it's like, I don't want to be the everyday YouTuber that does the same thing that everybody does. Like, no, still even if it's the thing that everybody does, it's going to be the way you do it that either people catches on. Absolutely. Or maybe not, but or something you can tweak a little bit to make it your own thing. So like, yeah, that is a pride issue there. Like if, sure. if say you maybe you do want to do a reaction video, because I personally do watch reaction videos, not of Maximilian. He does a lot of reaction videos.
Yeah, he does. First, his are good.
First, yeah, and I like those because his are like there's comedy in them, and then and it, there's like some sort of hype within those. Trailer reaction videos, because that's what it kind of basically is. Your whatever reaction it is, it's some form of hype, especially with video game trailers and whatnot, trying to tell you what this video game is going to be about. So like I kind of want to do a reaction video. I just need to figure out how I'm able to do it with my, again, with my resources, with like whatever programs that I have. And again, I want to do a top 10, but I kind of want to tweak it. But thinking if I want to make this legit, I may need to reach out to like a third party person or person that can do this thing that I want to do and see if we can come to an agreement sort of thing. But anything to just develop the channel to, you know, because I'm fine that it's my channel is mainly just about mobile games, but I do want to talk. I have all these things I want to talk about, and I want to talk to somebody about it, right?
Yes, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So like if I have a video that can talk to somebody out there and then they want to respond back, and then boom, we have that connection and we can just have a conversation. It could just be one person that I can talk about, like say Marvel Comics about, and then boom, we'll just have that conversation, and then I'm good there.
That's full on. And the thing is, the way I see it, so two things. The way I see it is, I think we should do kind of a sampler platter of all these types of videos, because we never know what's going to work. You know what I mean? So, but what you're doing is you're opening doors. So, like you said, you had already established your reviews and opinions. Yeah, we got those. That video, you've already done one. You've already done one or two. But now this third one is the one that really picked up.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you already established that was your idea, but now you found it and like, bam, now it took off. Mm-hmm. And I think if you dabble in five or six different video types, like that's why I could have easily made these retro West versus Backlogs, just West versus Backlogs. I could have just put them up as new episodes of West versus Backlog. And hey, we looked at an older game today. That's all I would have made different. And then it would have been exactly the same show. But I was like, no. Let me really embrace the retro game side of this. Like, let me dig into that because I think there's something here. And then like with the unboxing, it's like, screw it. Why not? And like you said, it is a pride thing. Oh, I'm not going to stoop to that level or something. Yeah, like I'm not going to be one of them. One of those, the dirty YouTubers that, you know, or whatever thing you have. But I'll tell you a personal story from being in art school. So I went to art school in Oklahoma City. And the very first semester, the second day of class, so the first day of class, we get our syllabus and stuff, and this is in my traditional multimedia. So we did charcoal art, we did pencils, we did paints, all this stuff, kind of learning the pros and cons of what, and just really getting good at all of these fundamental basic art skills. What our first main assignment was is we had to make 15 pieces, and we had a week. And these pieces had to be big. They had to be on a canvas that was like 3 foot by 3 foot square or something. So like not something that you could do in 20 minutes and you're done. Each one of these took hours and hours and hours. So,
wow.
I mean, it took literally, I mean, it took me a week. It took me doing, if I wasn't in class and I wasn't, you know, at work, I was at my dorm and I was doing my art and that was it. I would stay up till 5 or 6 a.m. and then sleep for a few hours and go do my thing. Like it was grueling and it was arduous. So that happens. First big showing. So we go and we turn in our work and turn in the work. You have to hang the art on the wall. And then what he does, what our art instructor does is he goes and he looks at all the art. And then he takes out a knife and he cuts, slashes in every single person's art.
Wow.
Every single person's art. he looks back at us and we're all freaking out. We're like, oh my God, he hates it. We're like, so much time and energy, and we wanted to impress him, and we put our best foot forward.
Yeah.
And he said, all of you get 100s. So all of you pass.
Yeah.
Do not get connected to your work. He was like, that's the lesson. You had to work your ass off. You tried your best to impress me. All of this stuff looked great. You guys are on the right track. Never get invested with your work. Okay. Because the moment you do, you get too proud.
Yeah.
You don't take criticism. You don't see it for what it is. Now you think you're hot shit. Don't get an ego. Like, your work is a product of your time. That's it. Don't get invested.
Yeah, and there you go. Yeah,
ever since then, man, it was an actual wake up call, and I was like, holy shit, he's right. So with that type of lesson, I'm like, let's take chances. I mean, the worst that's gonna happen is it sucks. But trust me, ours aren't the only videos on YouTube that suck.
Right.
There's a bunch of videos on YouTube that suck. You'd be joining the plethora of videos that suck on YouTube. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a giant ocean that who cares if you make one or two bad ones? Who cares? Yeah. You make another one, it'll be better.
There you go.
So I think there's something to that, right? Like, just fuck it. Do it, man. Just
do it. Yeah.
Throw
it.
I mean, throw it to the wall, see if it sticks.
Like, you do you. And
just
do it.
That's it. You do you. You do you.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so that's our thought on that YouTube game right there. So real quick before we get into another topic. So apparently the Mass Effect team is dead.
are we doing like a quick news, like roundup? Yeah,
the quick right now. Breaking news. Boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop. Breaking news. Like, yeah. So what happened there?
So, like, okay.
Tepid response from like Andromeda and like, nope. You guys are not ever getting together back.
Kind of exactly what happened. And what was the real like knife to the stomach was the day before they had an earnings call. The CEO of EA was part of an earnings call.
Okay.
And he talked about that I have very good confidence in BioWare as a top-tier game developer, and we're very proud with the performance and stuff. And then they shit-canned BioWare Montreal the day after. So, I mean, okay, so they actually didn't fire anybody. So what happened is they moved people that were working on Andromeda, which, I mean, to be fair, the game's done, technically. I mean, it's released, I should say. It's not done.
It's released, yeah.
Yeah, it's released. So... They moved all those people, or more than half, I want to say, over to the Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront 2 team. So they moved that BioWare team over to EA, and, you know.
That's not bad. I mean, you know, a better Star Wars game, in a sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have more experienced people.
Compared to what you got for Battlefront 1.
Yeah, absolutely. So you get a bigger team. That's going to be one of their major releases of the year. So yeah, totally makes sense. And then, but the weird thing is they're putting Mass Effect, the entire series, on hiatus. So it's basically cryogenically frozen. Like, they just went in and they're like, okay, we're not touching Mass Effect. So apparently Andromeda, man, they just did some damage.
Do you know, because I don't think you played Andromeda at all, right?
Not yet. Yeah, not yet.
Okay. Now, do you know if that, say, the ending was open-ended or was it closed-ended?
That's what I'm trying to
guess. It was open-ended.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I want to say that it had kind of sort of closure, but EA is really bad about that anyway. Like, they don't necessarily do cliffhangers, but everything's so open-ended, you never really get a sense of finality anyway.
Okay.
So I would imagine it's something like that. But apparently there's a lot of problems with Andromeda, and watching people play it on Twitch and YouTube and stuff like that. I want to play it because it looks, I like the look of it. I like the world that they're in, and the fact that it's kind of like Dragon Age Inquisition. So it's more open-ended. Yeah. But some of it just looks just bad. I mean, not even in the, this is not my taste type of stuff. It just looks bad. I did that YouTube video, or I retweeted a YouTube video a while ago like back whenever the game first launched, and the voice acting was atrocious. it was like PBS closed, access television. These people have never acted before in their life bad, to where you could tell they were reading lines. You could tell they recorded all of those lines in a room by themselves, because the tone between conversations wouldn't match.
Right.
Like, you and I would be having a conversation. Yeah, imagine if we had an episode of Brothering Around, to where everything you said, you sounded confused, and then everything I said, I screamed. Like, it wouldn't make sense.
Dude. See, it kind of goes back to our YouTube subject topic just now. Like, if, say, you had that footage of the people, you know, whoever is talking, you could just make that a machinima video right there.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Like, people, like, talking and stuff, how it looks and stuff. And we could just make our own dialogue and lore and just, try to make it funny and be like the
next. That's it. That's
not
the whole gimmick.
Be like the next, but, like, you know, if Rooster Teeth wasn't so much contracted to Microsoft and the Halo series, they could have just used Andromeda for something. Oh,
absolutely. Add some wacky shenanigans, right? Like the Gary's Mod stuff that they would do.
Yeah, they use Fear,
Oh, so silly. I mean, that's... But apparently, and like a lot of those missions and stuff were glitched out, and then they would be driving around in the car and the car would just disappear, and then they would fall through the earth and just, the game wasn't done. I mean, you could tell they rushed it out, but even the stuff they had wasn't very good. Now, I know a few people that have put over 100 hours in it, and they were like, yeah, it's fine. It has a lot of rough edges, but it's functional and it works. And that's kind of what my expectation was. But I genuinely, and I kind of feel bad about it now that the studio no longer exists, but I was like, I'm going to wait to buy this on sale. But I don't think me purchasing it would have made much of a difference. It got slammed. It really did. Critics fans and the Metacritic and stuff. It's just not very good.
They didn't have like a day one patch where like that kind of like the graphical stuff wasn't fixed.
Not all of it. The weirdest thing about it is if you go look at some screenshots of the game, nobody has eyelids. So it's like everybody is super surprised all the time about everything. And then they have this weird like face smug like smiles during really inappropriate times, to where they talk about like stuff like so it changes the tone. And that's the thing about acting, right? Is like facial acting is everything, because we get emotion from the face and the eyes. So there would be lines talking about like, because I guess the main character's father dies in the opening deal. I think it's even part of the trailer, so it's not much of a spoiler, but the character talks about like, yes, my father died, and then they like smile.
They're super smiling, like,
and then you're like, the fuck is this? It's really unsettling. It's just a very like, did they kill their own dad? Like, you start reading into stuff you're not supposed to, and it's just because they didn't, they didn't animate it right. But and then people will be like, oh my gosh, and then they do a big smile. It's like everyone's in on an inside joke that I'm not aware of. Everyone's in the room like nudging each other, like, hey. Oh, yeah. Such a shame your dad died. Like,
whenever
weird.
Whenever you can get that game, you should, like, compilation of, like, those weird moments. And
Oh, and there's a ton of them. There's some of them that, like, whenever characters walk downstairs, they almost walk like George Jefferson, to where, like, their arms swing behind them out of socket and stuff.
Vince McMahon.
Exactly. The strut, the Conor McGregor strut, where he's like, And I was like, human beings don't walk like this, I mean, let's pour one out for the Mass Effect team, I guess. And,
quick update that I know I was just aware of today. Absolver release date got announced to August 29th.
Oh, yeah. So I was looking at more trailers and stuff on that, man. It looks pretty slick.
They released another video. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to watch. I haven't watched that yet, but it
looks really slick.
It does.
It does give me a very Bushido Blade.
Yeah.
That Bushido Blade vibe. Very much.
Yeah, man.
Very much.
Yeah. I'm really excited. And yeah, I'm not even like, I still don't have my PS4, but like, I'm really excited about that game just being around. So, yeah.
Overall, I mean, God, there was one other main topic we were going to talk about, right?
Oh, I believe we're talking about how can you redeem Captain America?
Oh, that's the one. That's the moneymaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, you could probably give a more succinct rundown because I have a very... You know, I'm dabbling a little bit in comics more and more, but I don't keep
the osmosis of
exactly. Like I get it from you, I get it from stuff that I hear from other friends on message boards, and then I kind of sort of know what's going on enough so to have an opinion about it because this is very broad, I guess.
Yeah.
So tell me what the deal is with Captain America, and I'll explain why I think this timing is dreadful.
Okay. All right. Sure. And I think we had something else about like, it, depending how long we go on this topic. So just to kind of rewind of what's going on with Captain America. Let's see, Captain America, like the newest number one came out and, you know, it's your standard Captain America issue. He's doing a mission. He's saving lives. He's taking out the bad guy, but cliffhanger at the end or spoiler at the end, or swerve at the end, Captain America takes out one of his good guy like sidekicks, like throwing him out off of a plane, and then he's talking to one of the bad guys saying, "Hail Hydra." So everybody's in uproar about that, like, you know, literally people like on Facebook and just reaction of it, right? So like if I were to make my review and opinion on that, like that would have blew up at that time. So
so
like people are now aware or thinking like, so Captain America has been a Hydra agent all this time, but like they're, as you delve further into the story, it was like the whole cosmic cube thing is kind of like his history was rewritten, but he's still the same Captain America from before. It gets a little iffy in a sense, but like if he's aware that his history was rewritten, but he wanted to use Hydra to be in his vision, because he would always battle Hydra like in this main comic book series, whatever, like, you know, from like Captain America, like number one all the way back then to like to now. So what's going on with the current event called Secret Empire? It's literally known now that, like people know that Captain America is now like official bad guy. He turned full heel, like Hogan, Hollywood Hogan heel, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm looking at this. I'm not like reading from issue to issue, but I'm looking at it from like news posts and stuff like that. I was like, okay, so he's going full like bad guy. I'm like thinking, there's gonna be some way that he's gonna like be redemptive at the end,
or like a shtick.
in the next next event or series, whatever we're gonna do after this event, right?
Yeah.
But they do things where I'm like, oh wow, there's no going back to that, because I believe, let's see, the first issue was he killed one of his, not Bucky, but he killed his next best friend sidekick, right?
Yeah.
Through firing squad. So the story panel is Captain America is like, I know you, because the guy's name is Rick Jones. The guy said, or Captain America said, I know you're the guy. You're the one that sent all those secret Hydra files to somewhere. I know you mean well and you want to do the right thing, but I need you to, like admit that you are wrong and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, Captain America is full on Hydra agent, but he's not outed as a Hydra agent at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he caps like, or at the very least, say Hail Hydra. So like, I know that I can. There's still, so like in a sense, Captain America is still finding a way to save Rick Jones.
Gotcha.
In a sense, but like he's Hydra like influenced, like because of the rewritten past.
Right.
Of the whole like magical item that rewritten his past thing. So So Rick Jones is like, oh man, you know, Cap, I know you. You're gonna turn around on this. Like something happened to you, but I know you're gonna find a way to get out of whatever your spell or brainwash you're going through. It's like,
yeah, right.
So he's like, I know you're gonna do it. He has full faith that Captain America is gonna turn around at the end, right? Mm-hmm. So you move on to like basically towards the end of that issue, and Rick Jones is going towards a pillar post. They're tying him up, and he's singing the song. I guess it was like a throwback of something like an old issue back then. He's singing the song, and the very last words he said was "Avengers Assemble," and the last panel was like firing squad, Hydra firing squad firing, and basically you see him in a panel shot dead. He's dead, right? So we see that. We see that happen, and like me personally, like, oh, dude, you can't go back now. Like, how can from this point forward, as you're going to be outed as a bad guy, a Hydra agent, that people are going to want to like trust you again, or you know, want to team up with you, whatever happens after you're doing what you're doing? Because I know last weekend was Free Comic Book Day, and mm-hmm. one of the free comic books was, I believe, Secret Empire. Issue zero. And so like one thing that happened was I guess the last panel, like it's not so much a spoiler because it's already out there in news wise that like there was like three attacks, and then all of a sudden, or like the very last panel, like, it shows like Captain America lifting up Thor's hammer, like legit, no like help or anything, because the hammer says like whoever deems worthy will lift up Thor's hammer, like the hammer Mjolnir.
Yeah.
So like people are freaking out, like he's a Hydra agent, but why is he lifting up Thor's hammer? So now it's out in the open, and like people are doing like secret resistance teams, and like it's eventually going to unfold like how like you know Captain America is going to use Hydra for his like vision of peace, whatever it looks like.
Oh, so like sort of like a big boss outer heaven.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Like a big boss out of heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. So, that's going on. And I'm like, dude, I don't know how you can redeem Captain America at this point. And I think people in the past, like the past events, it was Cyclops from the X-Men, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The whole Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah.
Like he turned Dark Phoenix. He got absorbed. He absorbed the Phoenix Force, and eventually he got turned into Dark Phoenix, but like, you know, he did bad things because he was like possessed.
Yeah.
But people can't seem to, I mean, I was team Cyclops. So I was all rooting for Cyclops anyway.
Right.
So like a lot of people can't seem to get the idea that, you know, he was possessed while doing that. It wasn't actually really him. It was kind of him, but it wasn't him.
Gotcha. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because of past experiences with the Phoenix. Cause when Jean Grey was Dark Phoenix, she killed like billions and billions of like, you know, whatever creatures in space, but like they put her on trial for doing that. But yeah. You know, X-Men were like, no, it wasn't her, she was possessed. So like same situation, like when it was Cyclops, like, yeah, like they were saying like, oh, you're a total bad guy, I can't believe you did what you did. Like, no, dude, he was possessed. It was the same sort of situation.
Yeah.
So now we go to Captain America. It's like, dude, you can't. I don't know how you can. I mean,
yeah.
there's going to be a way where the writers are going to do it. But I personally, from my standpoint, from what I see of like current events, I don't see how you can redeem Captain America at this point.
Yeah.
Especially being Steve Rogers, Captain America.
My shtick behind it, because I think they're going to try to shoehorn a way in, and maybe it might be like I was under the spell of, you know, like Red Skull or something. They're going to do something. But yeah. What I don't agree with, and I think this talks about a bigger thing than just maybe the story arc, is I think the timing is terrible.
Yeah.
Because you look in the real world, and I don't know if they thought this in a boardroom and hey, that's weird. You know, the president of the United States is this guy that nobody really likes too much. And apparently people on his board of directors are white supremacists. Mm-hmm. So what if we make Captain America a Nazi? Because that's, I mean, at the end of the day, you look at it and you're like, okay, that is exactly what Hydra is. They say, hail Hydra. Like, all they need to do now is goose step. Like, they're so freaking close. Like, that's what the imagery, they have armbands, the whole fucking shtick, right?
Yeah.
So they're going whole hog into the Captain America is part of Hydra, or essentially Captain America is a Nazi, because that's why Hydra existed. In the old Captain America books, America defeated the Nazis. Therefore, Captain America defeated Hydra. Like, that was an allegory and not a very subtle one. So that's why that whole thing got popular. It was the 50s, you know, the whole thing. So you're at one of the weirdest times in American history where there's weird, like, power movements of white supremacy and, like, neo-Nazis are getting on news channels, like, being able to spout some shit, you know what I mean? And, like, so now they have a voice. Now you're saying, okay, now Captain America is essentially a neo-Nazi, and this comes after not 2 months after, the CEO of Marvel says that, well, you know, we tried the whole diversity thing with our stories, and that didn't sell very well. So now we're going to, quote, go back to normal. So you say you're going to go back to normal, and then one of your star players becomes a fucking Nazi? Are you kidding? Like, you could not have timed any of this worse. just from a business perspective, like, you're starting to tread on ground to where if there's a foundation that's really rocky anyway, as far as, like, the public psyche and very unknown, like, us as Americans, it's a really weird time to be in, and, like, what is real and what is not, and how does Russia play a role and whatever, like, there's all this shit going on, and it's all over the news, and we're bombarded with it every single day. And then your escapism turns into the same exact shit.
Yeah.
And that's the part. So in my opinion, this isn't even discussing the story arc, but can Captain America be redeemed? Absolutely not. Because now I'm looking at Marvel is walking a very fine line, and if they are not careful, this might not be a can Captain America be redeemed, but can Marvel come back from this?
I mean, when people post their opinions about the whole, you know, Captain America Hail Hydra thing, you know, it's usually, at least the posts that I see, it's usually, like, you know, the older person or, like, the person that's out of comics already is like, oh, I can't believe that wouldn't be my Captain America. Like, literally hashtag not my Captain America.
Right. Yes.
So, but at the same time, like, it's telling, not to say it's a refreshing story, because for whatever reason, it's like the people that say, oh, not my Captain America, why don't they, or, like, you know, why can't they stop with the events? They let it just be back, just normal, and, like, Captain America is just doing it okay. Like, well, that makes comics boring then.
I know what you're basically, right? And I kind of agree with what you're saying, because I truly think that this event is just to get a rise out of people. I think this is
getting people talking.
Get people talking about it. Because here's the deal: the people doing the hashtag not my Captain America and all that shit, it's fucking marks.
Yeah,
like, people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. Oh my, I can't believe they did that. It's like, well, now you got people talking. Now, you know, you sell more copies.
I got to know what's going on.
Exactly. Makes total sense. So from a business move, they're going after the marks. Easy. Like, and it's an easy thing to do. The only thing is, it's like, I don't know. To me, it's almost, not necessarily, you know, is nothing sacred anymore. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, this is Marvel Comics. I mean, this is a form of, it's a hobbyist escapism. It's, you know, a form of entertainment. And I'm a big believer that entertainment can be a great way to discuss real world things, because you're able to, like, remove yourself a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're more willing to listen. because
yeah,
it's not real. It's a comic book, but what story or what lesson or what morality is this trying to teach me? And you're willing to get a lesson and a good, you know, heart tugging moment and, you know, tie it back into your real life. And then your real life is more rewarded and enriched and you have a more fulfilled life because you're learning about culture and you're living your life. You're getting experiences and your hobbies are bringing your passions to life and all this good stuff.
Yeah.
So whenever they start dabbling on a very, the world is just very chaotic right now. And I think the last thing we need is something that's almost embracing that as a norm.
Okay.
So here's the thing. If this would have happened 15 or 20 years ago, I don't think it would have been as, in my opinion, damaging. I think it would have got people talking and like people still would have freaked out like, holy shit, you can't do that. But it would have been more part of the fun. It would have been more of a work, right? We would have been I can't believe it would be a plot twist for like Grey's Anatomy. And it would be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would get you talking by the water cooler. And like, can you believe that he killed his friend? Oh, my God. Like, you have the right type of heat. You have the type of heat to where people want to read more. And I can't believe it. How are they going to write themselves out of this one? Oh, my gosh. Like, this is so engaging and thoughtful and it's so crazy. And I can't believe they would do that. And like, people are excited. But because you're going on the type of ground that's filled with like lack of diversity. So whenever your CEO says, hey, we tried diversity and it didn't work. And then the very next issue of one of your premiere series has a white supremacist, like fucking abort mission, like hit that button and get the fuck out of there. Like you just made a bad call. Like that is not what this should stand for. The whole idea of Marvel and comics in general is about inclusivity. Like everyone belongs. Fuck, you got the X-Men. What is the X-Men about?
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
they're about like,
people are different and they should be loved. That's X-Men. That is the entire story beat of every X-Men angle ever, is mutants are people too. So now you're giving one of your main duders, the white guy, by the way, the type of imagery of a white supremacist? Like, bro, you gotta, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go full Vince Russo on it. Like, what are you doing, bro? What are you doing?
Oh, dude.
But I mean, that's my thought. So it's a little, I think we both came to the same conclusion, but just for different reasons, you know, like I really don't think you can redeem Captain America. I think whatever they're going to try to shoehorn in, but I'm also a fan of, hey, let the story play out. We don't need results right away. Let it happen. Yeah. Let's see what happens. But they're walking a super fine line. And I don't know, if I'm all about free speech and I think you should write a story no matter what it is. And like, you know, may not agree with it, but as long as it's not hurting others and stuff like that. But this, the symbolism that it's showing is not something I can necessarily vibe with. And I think that's one of the reasons why I haven't started picking it up is I was like, they might be doing this to get a rise out of people, but there are better, more creative ways to get a rise out of people than make someone a Nazi. Like, that's lazy. It's creatively, it's kind of lazy. You know what I'm saying? That's just the angle I'm coming at it from. But like I said, I'm out on the outside. I haven't seen the details of it. I haven't even read the issues. I just kind of saw all these little things happening back to back to back. And then it made for a really weird narrative. And I was like, whoa, Marvel, you got to pump the brakes a little. Because this is, you're getting into some weird territory now, you know?
Right. Yeah, man. It's definitely interesting. It's definitely interesting to see where he started from, like the start of the Hail Hydra to where it's at now. Because because I'm not reading it either. I'm not reading issue to issue. I'm just seeing where people knew, like when the news sites post, like Captain America was trying to do this, like with Civil War II, some things happened because Captain America had a hand in it, right?
Yeah.
trying to manipulate like situations and scenarios and stuff. So like he was trying to build something to where he's at now, and it's an interesting ride to watch as not even reading issue to issue. It's just okay, and then where it gets to where it is now with the whole killing Rick Jones firing squads thing, I was like, I don't know how you can do it now
in a firing squad. Like, let's talk about that for a minute.
It was bad, man. No matter how you can, like, how resurrection story you can do with Rick Jones afterwards, like, he's literally visually shot dead in a panel. So,
well, and by
that's as dead as you're going to be
by an execution squad.
Yeah,
and you're telling me it's not Nazi imagery? Like, come the fuck on. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like hit him with a snowball or something. Like, who cares? Make it kill him some other way.
Yeah.
But like, and it's going to be in terrible taste, but like, is it going to be like fucking gas chambers and shit next? Like, like, what are they going to do to try to get a rise out of people?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I want to say that's what they're doing with the mutant side of it. Like, Captain America is going to deal with the mutants. So like, mutant camps is probably going to be a thing.
Oh,
and then that was a thing.
Sake.
That was a thing with Bishop's timeline. Remember Bishop's future was, there was mutant camps taking out the mutants through camps. So like, I mean, if
Jesus,
because the story is going to progress forward, and it's already like, it's already Hydra America already. So like, we're going to see what like their perfect world is going to look like. So,
oh my God! Yeah, see that type of shit.
It's gonna be crazy.
Get the fuck out of here! You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Marvel, come on! You can't, in good faith, think this is a good idea. You can't.
They're gonna do it though. I see it coming, especially with mutants.
Well, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're 100% accurate. Like, I would not put money against you. You know what I'm saying? It's a shame. Like, I kind of think it's a shame.
Yeah,
because
it is.
Because you got to tell me how good Guardians of the Galaxy is, because that's a thing. You have likable characters. They say funny stuff. Apparently, it has some emotional moments. That's what you want out of comics, man. You just want the good characters. You want to chill. You want bad guys to be bad guys, but just enough like snidely whiplash bad guy to sell for the good guy. You know. Like, that's what it's about. And whenever you start getting into this weird imagery shit is where I start, not my forte, I guess.
No,
not my comic. Hashtag, I'm going to do a reaction video.
Doing
pretty good. So did we want to talk about our last little topic or?
I mean, we could just throw it out there. Like, you made a Facebook page, finally.
I did, dude. I'm only 11 years late on making my Facebook page. But yeah,
so,
guys.
So what was the inspiration of making a Facebook page?
So out of all the time, as of right now, it really was kind of that community that started commenting on my YouTube video. And I noticed that a lot of those guys have their Facebooks, and that's how they primarily share things. But also, and this is just shows what kind of carny I am, the only way that Video Games Monthly, you know, the thing I subscribe to, the only way they show unboxing videos is if you share them to their timeline on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't want to do it from my personal account.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's just weird. Personal account should be personal. Business account should be business. Yeah. That's the way it should be. So I made up the Commie to Hobo. Yeah. So it's facebook.com/commie to hobo. Really easy to get to. And so what it is it's going to be kind of a collection of the YouTube videos as they go up. But then also it's going to be more like I took a photo of my first box that I got. You know, but I didn't put it on Twitter. So
yeah, that's right. You didn't.
Yeah. So I'm going to use Facebook as kind of a, not necessarily behind the scenes, but maybe like I'll take a picture of the setup before we record Brothering Around or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To where you get a slightly different angle. That way, all of the content on Twitter is not the same as the content on comedyhobo.com and is not the same content on facebook.com/comedyhobo. There's going to be,
oh man,
if you want, yeah. So if you want the full, I guess, experience, you would be in all three. You would go to the website, yeah. You would check my YouTube, and then you would check Twitter, and then you would check Facebook. And that's going to kind of give everyone slightly different content. So that way, if you find one that you really like, if you like the Facebook stuff because it shows more stuff like that, by all means, like, follow it. I'll engage with you. Respond. I'll reply. Like, awesome. Yeah. But really, it was an outreach thing. It was a lot of, and I got, you know, over the past year or so, I've gotten people, hey, do you have a Facebook? Hey, do you have a Facebook page? And I would always say, no. I'm like, nah, I'm on Twitter. And they're like, oh, okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why not? Once again, it's an idea. Let's throw it against the wall, see if it sticks. But that way, you know, it is a different audience. And the audience, I've noticed that the audience for Facebook is way more likely to comment than the audience for Twitter.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So that's a different type of engagement, you know, because tweets or retweets and faves and all that stuff, which is awesome. But with Facebook, it's actual interaction, like people commenting and, hey, actual good this. Or,
you know. Yeah. So now, like, with on my end of my own Facebook page, I literally just use the Facebook page to post news, right? That's what I do. Yeah. I don't necessarily put, like, my intro to mobile games videos there because a part of me doesn't, again, it's a pride thing. I don't know if I think it's not good enough or like to be entertaining or what, but like, I kind of just leave that alone in YouTube. Right.
Gotcha.
And then I'll put up my reviews and opinions. We got those videos there. Cause you know, I want to see if they agree, they have the same like sentiment or like they agree with the same opinion or what. I'll put those videos. That's fine. I think cause it's different. It's an opinion piece in a sense.
Yeah.
That's why I'll do that. And then I'll share it to my personal account because as a page manager, you see how many people have seen your post, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you do it by yourself and like say you have the number of people that either likes your page or is following your page, it may not be as high as say you sharing on your personal page to all your friends. Because whoever likes your page is going to see what your post is. And then when you share it to your personal page, like you or yourself, then the number expands like double in a sense.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, yeah, like with like any sort of post or video that I put up by itself, like I'll see maybe like, you know, people will view it in like maybe tens or 20s or 10s or 15 people will see the video on the Nerd in the Bay Facebook page by itself. But when I share it on my personal Facebook with the Nerd in the Bay posts, that number goes up like 100 or 150 people see this post.
Interesting.
So it gives it more like a possibility that they'll maybe click on that story or they'll click on that video of your video and then go on to watching your video. It's an idea of like maybe you do want to consider it, but at the same time it's like do I want to cross that line? Do I want to just spam people with my stuff and then try to like invite people to like my page? It's another thing in itself.
Yeah, because really. I mean the whole inviting people to like my page, I don't think I ever will. But I mean every once in a while, and maybe it's one of those things that I could put the occasional like unboxing video or something, like if Brittany and I do a video and you know, both of us are on there, and then that way I could also share the comedyhobo.com post from that Facebook onto my personal. That's definitely a balancing act because I don't want to it's almost that saying, you don't shit where you eat. So you don't want to you don't want to spam people. And like, that's not the vibe I want to give, is I don't want people to feel forced to go to this thing that they may not even be interested in. But also I want people aware that I have this other thing too. You know what I mean? Like, so it is that balancing act. You just have to do it the right way. If you're just bombarding people all day, every day, it's not going to work. People are going to get exhausted and they'll get tired and then they'll just unfollow everything, and that's not what you want.
No, so yeah, I mean, that's what I did. I invited people that I think that they like the similar thing that I do, and I invite those people to like the page and leave it at that. If anybody's somewhat similar in like my interest, then I'll invite those people. I won't like invite all my friends, because then I know that they don't like the same thing. So like that's when you're kind of bugging people to like just
you're pushing
to like your page, because you want likes on your page. So
And I don't care even about the likes or views and all that stuff on Facebook. I just thought of it as opening, hey, let me get this kind of, because I've always been interested in behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. So like even on DVDs, I'll listen to director's commentary. Like I love the whole how is the sausage made. So let me do that for my stuff. Like there has to be other people out there that like that the same way I do. So I guess I've started getting to this idea of, and it's almost a faux pas to say, and it's not good to say, and you know, oh, it makes you look bad or whatever. But I think I'm happier making content now for like YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
Because the only person I'm making it for is me.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I'm
totally.
Saying? Like, I'm making videos I want to make the way I want to make them, because I like those type of videos. And that's it.
Yeah.
If other people watch it and like it, great.
That's great.
But I kind of don't care. Now I can, over the course of the past like 3 or 4 videos, you know, so the unboxing, West vs. Backlog, Spider-Man, Comilog stuff, the keeping it old school video, all that stuff. I would easily show those in a portfolio. I'd be like, yeah, this is what I do. Like, this is one of my side hobbies, is I like to edit and create video. And I think these are good enough that I can showcase them, and here they are. And like, on that same tear, I want to always have that kind of confidence with my videos and be like, some people are going to watch it and hate it and think it's terrible. That's fine. I'm not making it for anyone else but me. So I'm putting it on this platform, and I have the website that I show it on. Now I have a Facebook page that I can show you behind the scenes of. Just because that's the way I like to get my content. I like seeing behind the scenes on the new Blade Runner. I like seeing, you know, that's just the way it is. And I think I've gotten more engagement on my past 3 or 4 videos, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's like, well, maybe I should keep on this track of making stuff I like to see, because apparently other people like to see it too. Instead of trying to, well, I'm going to do it this way because, you know, YouTube says that, or, you know, oh, my Twitch people really like this. So maybe if I continue that, and maybe if I put up a 4-hour-long archive of my live stream, people will watch it. It's like, that's not reality. Like, no one's going to watch that, you know.
Right.
No one's watching that shit. So I'm glad I have it for archival purposes. But as far as original content for YouTube, it's a different animal, and I should probably embrace it. And yeah, but I feel great about where it is. And like, seriously, I haven't even finished them. I haven't really even edited any of them yet. But the 2 West versus Backlog retros, they're going to blow people's minds. Like, it's such a step up from even stuff that's come before.
That's good, man. So, that's what it should be, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, you're always getting better.
Stuff that we were doing back then, like, we're a little seasoned now. Now we can... we got a little flash and flare to it now.
Yeah, so. Man, we could be ourselves, and like our personality can come out. And yeah, exactly. So it's like, what are we? We're the young grizzled vets, is what we are.
Right,
young grizzled vets. But but I think that'll do it. We're almost at 1.5 hours and a half on the dot, man.
Awesome. There you go.
So perfect, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But guys, that is our time. You can find me, Mr. Wes Gardner, on Twitter, twitter.com/commietohobo. Also, just at commietohobo.com. Go see all that stuff. And hey, facebook.com/commietohobo. What is even happening?
What?
Go watch all my, I have nothing but tasty videos on there. So you can learn how to fucking make cheesecake. And then there's Mr. Marco Flores, intro to mobile games himself. I'm telling you, man, you are on a tear. It is unbelievable. You've put up like 14 videos in the past hour. I think it's been amazing. So yeah, go check him out. Twitter.com/MarcoPolo177. Also Twitter.com/NerdInTheBay. Search for Nerd in the Bay on YouTube. Please do so. Yes, you will be rewarded greatly.
I also have a Facebook page, but I post news. If you want news, you can go there.
Absolutely. What is that? Facebook.com/NerdInTheBay?
That's it.
Beautiful. Bingo. Bango bongo. We got it. That's episode number 27 in the bag, Marco. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, man. As always, man. Pleasure's all mine.
And that is going to do it. We will see you kiddos next week. Hang in there. Let us know what you think about this whole source-fed news, nerd stuff. And yeah, I think it's a kind of a clusterfuck. But yeah, but God bless.
There you go.